President Bush says a major priority for his second term will be to reform America's tax code. On Fox News Sunday, White House advisor Karl Rove was asked if the president is thinking about replacing the federal income tax with a sales tax or flat tax.
Well, he believes we need to step back and look at the code in its entirety and discuss and have a dialogue as to what is necessary to keep this economy flexible and dynamic and growing. How can we encourage savings? How can we encourage ownership? How can we encourage a dynamic, growing economy and do so in a fair way that requires a minimum amount of paperwork and compliance costs?
The White House has not been specific about what reforms it seeks, but some Bush supporters have suggested a flat tax. House Speaker Dennis Hastert has spoken of abolishing the income tax in favor of a national sales tax. He was also interviewed by Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday.
I'm saying there has to be a reform, a change, to make this tax system simpler, better, and we need to look at all alternatives. You know, when we get done looking at it, maybe we say we can't do it. Maybe the entrenched groups that have their pieces in the tax bill won't let that happen. But I think we need to have a long, serious look at it.
For a review of the U.S. tax system and a look at some of the options being discussed, we turn to Stanley Colander. He's author of the weekly column Budget Battles in the National Journal. Welcome.
Good to be here.
Can we get just a bit of history, please? When was the U.S. income tax established?
Well, it goes back about 90 years, 1913, when an amendment to the Constitution allowed for that type of taxation. Since then, it's been changed many, many times in a variety of ways. Rates have been increased, rates have been decreased, but it keeps on going.
1986 was one of the major changes to the tax code, another effort to simplify the system. Remind us what happened then and what effect has it had?
Well, that was the Rostenkowski era with working with the Reagan administration, where they wanted to simplify, flatten the tax system, make it easier for people. And what they did was do away with a variety of deductions and credits and special breaks and try to reduce the number of tax brackets so that it just became simpler and easier. The problem is, in the 18 years since then, a lot of those deductions and credits and a variety of others have been added back. It shows you kind of what the natural propensity of the system is. That is, if there's a tax out there, people are trying to minimize it.
Can I try to get a handle on some things that have been suggested? A flat tax.
Well, in its purest and simplest form, a flat tax means setting a certain, let's just say 12%, and whatever your income is, you pay 12%. There'd be no deductions, no credits, no special tax breaks, nothing. It would just be a flat 12% across the board. The problem with that, of course, is that a lot of people who get things like a mortgage deduction want to keep it. And every time you add back a deduction or a credit, every time you let the mortgage folks keep their credits and the people who make charitable deductions, the percentage has to go up. And after a while, the flat tax becomes a very high percentage tax on a variety of folks. Maybe they'll end up paying more than they currently pay.
Who would pay more? I mean, it sounds like lower income.
Well, it's not just lower income people. Don't forget there are a lot of folks in the middle and upper middle and even wealthier folks who, because of the various credits and deductions and things that the current tax system provides, end up paying 20-21% instead of the higher levels that everyone thinks they pay. And so if you suddenly got a flat tax at 22-25%, let's say, you'd catch a lot of people ending up having to pay more than they're currently paying, and it would be across income brackets.
What about the idea of replacing the income tax with a national sales tax?
Well, you know, it's very interesting and very enticing. It would simply be a federal version of what almost everybody now pays to the state or local government or both where they live or shop. That is, if you bought something, there'd be a certain percentage. Let's say it's a 4% or a 5% federal tax on top of whatever you're already paying to the state and local government. So in New York City, for example, that would be a 13% across-the-board tax, some of which would be paid to the federal government, some of which would be paid to the state and local government. The difference is that in April, you wouldn't have to file a form and send a check into the government, the federal government. Instead, you'd simply be paying a little bit of tax every time you buy something across the way.
And in terms of who would pay more or less for that?
Well, that's an interesting question. It would depend on how it was structured. A pure national sales tax, if it applied to everything, would have a heavy impact on those at the lower income levels, those who use most of their income to buy things. If you start exempting food, shelter, clothing, prescription drugs, let's say, then you're starting to hit middle-income people who, you know, might be buying other things, more luxury-type items. And then, of course, if you exempt even further things, you'll get to the upper-income people. But the problem with the national sales tax is it's remarkably regressive, and it's something that the states think is theirs. For 30 years, I've been hearing governors say, to the federal government, keep your hands off the sales tax. That's ours. That's our way of increasing revenue, and we don't want you to even go near it.
The U.S. currently has a budget deficit of more than $400 billion. Is that a factor in any of this?
Well, not yet. You know, one of the things we've seen with this administration is that the size of the deficit doesn't seem to affect their decisions on taxes. I mean, we've had four or five tax cuts in the first 4 years, and the deficit keeps going up. And all we hear from the administration is it's okay, it will get better over the next 4 years or 5 years. So you would think at some point the deficit will return to be an issue. And at that point, that might limit the president's ability, Congress's ability to cut taxes further or to do tax reform if it means ultimately lower revenues. We don't seem to have reached that point yet. And the deficit will be an issue someday. It's only a question of when.
So what do you rate the chances of something like this getting through Congress?
I'd say very, very small. I don't even want to put a number on it, but there are too many people who get too many tax breaks that want to keep them. The new system will challenge basically very sacred cows, mortgage interest deduction, charitable deduction, child credits, those types of things that people are very attached to and want very much. This is a difficult fight, and if you heard both Karl Rove and the Speaker Hastert, if you listen carefully, they were hedging their bets there. They said this is something we want to talk about, not necessarily something that they're absolutely committed to getting enacted. It's going to be very difficult, and it's not going to be something that would happen quickly. Years, years.
Stanley Colander writes a column called Budget Battles for the National Journal. Thanks for speaking with us.
My pleasure.